From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Reaction to Governor Sununu's removal of New Hampshire's mask mandate continued to unfold over the weekend, including a joint statement from 7 chambers of commerce urging the public to support local businesses by continuing to wear masks. Meanwhile, a number of cities, companies, and healthcare providers say they'll continue to require face coverings, and the governor has said they are allowed to do so. Today in The Exchange, the question of masks goes back to communities. Exchange listeners, let's hear your reaction. How much does this make a difference at your workplace, where you live, or the places you normally go? Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number is 800-892-6477. Now, before we go, listeners, on Wednesday, we'll dig into the health statistics around this, both those cited by the governor and critics of this decision. So that's Wednesday on our show. Today, as we look at local reaction and impacts, we're joined by Jeff Feingold, longtime editor of New Hampshire Business Review. Jeff, welcome back. Thank you very much.
It's great to be here, Laura. Thank you very much.
And with us for this first part of our show is Bobby Bagley. She's director of the Nashua Division of Public Health and Community Services. And Bobby, welcome back to The Exchange. Thanks again for your time.
Good morning, Lauren. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, before we begin our conversation, both of you, let's hear a little bit from the governor himself, who spoke with NHPR's Rick Ganley on Morning Edition today.
Well, we're in such a different position. So when you look at the fatality rate, that's what this is really about. That's been dropped 90%. And we have vaccines. We did not even have a vaccine, a shot in an arm back in November when we took the decision to put the mask mandate in. And not only do we have vaccines, we're among the fastest in the country in terms of administering them at this point. And that's what it's really about, allowing those in the most vulnerable population to be protected. And we've gone so far beyond that, not just long-term care. We've had folks 16 and up being able to get their shots for a few weeks now. We have even out-of-staters. We have so much vaccine available. As of this morning, we're even making it available to out-of-staters. So the vaccine is the key here. And that's what gives a lot of folks the confidence to be back out in the community, to going out to dinner, seeing their grandkids, all these things that have really been sacrificed over the past year. It gives us a lot of confidence to move things up. We're going to have high case numbers, I think, for quite some time. I think we're going to see surges of high case numbers, not just in, we'll come out of this spring surge, but then we'll probably see it again in the fall. So COVID is going to be with us. There's no sign that COVID itself is going away, potentially for a few years. But now that the vaccine is here and it's so viable, the efficacy rate is so high, we can all make that choice to protect ourselves. Some will choose to do it, some will not, but we have a very high uptake right now. In New Hampshire, we're kind of leading the country in that statistic as well. So all these data points come together to say we can start loosening things up and creating a little more flexibility for our citizens.
So again, that's Governor Sununu talking with NHPR's Rick Ganley on Morning Edition today. Bobby Bagley, let's start with you, please. Were you surprised by Thursday's announcement from the governor?
Well, I knew that there was going to be an end to the state's mask mandate. I was surprised that it was going to be so soon. And I say that because at the time we were seeing an increase in the number of our cases. Just as the governor said, we're going to see some spikes. So that was surprising that we would end the mask mandate so abruptly.
So it felt soon to you, Bobby. Why is that?
Well, it felt soon only because, again, of what we're seeing with the numbers. And yes, we are seeing an increase in our vaccination rates, but we have some community spread that is still one of the indicators that's high for us. And once we can get that under 100 cases, then, it would put us in a better position where we'd feel a little bit more comfortable. There's still a significant amount of community spread, which means individuals can pick up the virus and not even know that they've been exposed because of that high rate in the community. And that's why that's a concern with the overall state mask mandate ending. The expectation is that, Laura, we all know that the masks work. They do reduce the spread of respiratory viruses in the community. And we're really hoping that although we don't have a state mask mandate, that individuals will continue to wear their masks to protect our vulnerable populations and to keep those numbers down.
So, Jeff, the governor had hinted in an interview midweek that he was going to lift the mask mandate soon. How much was it expected, Jeff, that he would lift it this soon?
Well, I you know, if you heard that interview, I think it was on a sports station in Boston where I'd heard about this. He was implying that it was very soon, but you couldn't really get a sense it was going to be tomorrow, which is basically what it was. I mean, it was the next day. So I think it did take people by surprise. I just reading between the lines, on Friday, a group statement came out from the heads of seven different chambers of commerce in Southern New Hampshire, basically Concord and South, urging people, basically begging people to maintain COVID guidelines, even though the state mandate has been lifted. You know, follow safety guidelines, please. Please follow the guidelines that businesses are asking of you. It was almost as if they were kind of taken by surprise and they scurried to get this done. You know, I'm not saying I don't have that as a confirmation, but I just got the sense reading between the lines of the statement that they just put something together very quickly, because I think they were taken by surprise, just as Bobby was and others.
Well, and Jeff, I thought that was really interesting that you reported seven New Hampshire Chambers of Commerce, you know, big ones, south of Concord, as you said. We urge all citizens to listen to and support these businesses as they continue to adapt to new changes in guidelines and phases of the pandemic. So help us read between the lines there, Jeff. I mean, what are they really trying to say there? Like, don't bother the clerk if he tells you to put your mask on? What are they trying to say?
Well, you know, you have to remember this. Back, New Hampshire didn't have a mask mandate until November, last November. And that was, I think it was the last state in this part of the country to do that, to impose it. And for many months, businesses, you know, especially people with, you know, customer-facing businesses, as they say, retail, hospitality, they were asking state government to impose a mandate because they had come into this situation where their employees had to basically confront customers, or customers confronted employees. You know, there were many stories about this last year, if you remember, and they really were looking for the state to impose a mandate so that the employers could say, the businesses could say, look, it's not our rule, it's the state rule. So please don't bother us. And actually, when the governor announced, he says, well, I'll take the heat. I'm going to impose a mandate.
That.
I'm taking the heat. So what he's doing now is saying, I guess the state's not going to take the heat anymore, and it's up to each individual business to take the heat again. And I think there's a concern that it might start up again, you know, because we did have a history last year of this. There haven't been any instances yet, but we don't know. I mean,
we'll hear a little bit later in the show from a Monadnock region business owner who's had some trouble with that. Bobby, I want to ask you about that as well, and just clarify that Nashua does have a mask mandate, and that mandate will stay in place. So how are the businesses in your city, Bobby, reacting?
So initially, when we put the mask mandate in place, we had a number of businesses that were very excited about that because it allowed for them to be open and open safely. We will continue to have our mask mandate in place because it allows, again, for the economy to stay open. It allows for the businesses to safely be able to provide services for their staff and for the customers that are coming in as well. And so we've had a number of positive responses from the business community with regards to Nashua maintaining our mask mandate.
Let's go to our listeners, both of you. Again, the exchange number is 800-892-6477. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can use Facebook too if you'd like. Once again, the email is exchange@nhpr.org. Join us as we check in on local reaction to the lifting of New Hampshire's statewide mask mandate. Cities and towns, businesses, other organizations, they're now having to make their own decisions. Tell us what effect this has on your community, on your workplace, on the places that you tend to go to. Again, our number is 800-892-6477. And Bobby and Jeff, Marie is calling in from Hudson. Hi, Marie. You're on the exchange. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for taking my call. And your guests have basically echoed or already said what I would like to say, which is just that the fact that the governor lifted the mask mandate makes me concerned about getting customer pushback, because we will continue to have masks mandated in our business. I have to be concerned about my employees, their health, and their mental health as far as being concerned about coming to work every day and being exposed. And so I appreciate that most people seem to be in favor of keeping a mask on. We had no trouble with customers through all of last summer and through the winter. So I'm just crossing my fingers that this summer we can continue to have a good relationship with customers in that they'll wear their masks and we won't have to debate it when they come into the shop.
Well, Marie, what's your business? I'm just curious.
We do screen printing and embroidery for schools and businesses, and we also sell school uniforms. So we have retail customers in and out all day long, especially during the summer when people are outfitting their children to go back to school.
I see. And what town is your business in, Marie?
We're in Hudson.
Okay. Do you know yet, and things are still new, so it's okay if you don't know, do you know yet what Hudson's plans are in terms of, you know, a townwide mask mandate? Like Nashua's going to keep its mask mandate, Concord, Keene, Plymouth, you know, a couple other cities and towns. Do you know yet, Marie?
No, I don't know that, but, you know, a good amount of our customers come from outside of Hudson.
Sure.
So if Nashua has it in place, that's very helpful to us.
Okay. Marie, it's really nice to hear from you. Thank you for calling the show today.
Thank you.
So, Bobby, you know, in addition to your job as Director of Public Health for Nashua, your office is also Chief Public Health Strategist for the greater Nashua region. And this relates to Marie's call. Given that wider role, Bobby, how are you talking with officials in the surrounding region about mask mandates?
So, Laura, one of the things that we do in our role of Chief Public Health Strategist is that we make sure we push out communication to the greater Nashua region. And so we use our list, our constant contact list, has all of our emergency management directors on it, business partners, the schools in the greater Nashua region. And so we push out that information. So we sent out, you know, the press release in response to the governor's lifting of the mask mandate just to communicate what our plans were for the city of Nashua. And then our expectation is as we work with our partners in the greater Nashua region, including the 12 surrounding towns, that they would do the same. And the reason, again, is because, you know, we know that the masks work with reducing the spread of infectious disease. And so that allows for, you know, as the caller just said, people to be able to come into businesses, feel safe for the employees or the staff that work in those businesses to also have, you know, a sense of well-being and even mental health, a peace of mind, you know, that when they go to work, that they're not going to be put at risk because they do have the masks mandate in place in their businesses. And so we push the information out. We make recommendations and calls and respond to calls that come in from our partners. And we just encourage them to continue to do that as well for the health and safety of their community and their workers.
Well, and this is all still very new. The mandate was just lifted Friday. Here we are on Monday morning. But do you have a sense, Bobby, of what your surrounding communities will plan to do, including, you know, Hudson, where Marie works?
Well, so far, we haven't heard that folks were going to stop requiring masks in their businesses and have heard that people will continue to do so.
What about the towns, the town governments?
Well, we haven't heard from many of the town government. It's only just some businesses have replied to us so far. But
well,
it's
sure.
only Monday, right?
Yeah, so I know.
We still have some time to hear from some of the leaders in some of the other towns as well. But so far, we've just gotten some good replies from some of the, you know, from some of the businesses around.
Okay, let's take another call. Another one from your neck of the woods, Bobby. This is Sally in Nashua. Hi, Sally. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Nice to speak with you. I just wanted to say briefly that I would not go into a business that didn't have a mask mandate. I would absolutely not even consider it. We don't know enough about this. It is highly contagious, and I do think it was short-sighted of Governor Sununu to not make such an announcement so soon. It's really playing Russian roulette with our health.
I'm interested. You say you won't go into businesses that allow unmasked patrons. So in terms of the places just that you tend to go, like, are there any places now where you're going to have to, you suspect you might have to check them off your list? I'm not going there anymore.
It could be a pharmacy. It could be a supermarket. it could be a place that requires us to go on a regular basis. And if there wouldn't be a mask mandate, you know, we know that our eyes are a portal also. And if you have people milling around with people who don't wear masks, you know, it's very likely that they could possibly transmit something to them. And, you know, we just don't know enough about it at this point.
Well, you're in Nashua, so the city's mandate continues there.
Yes, the mayor's doing a good job. And, you know, I'm glad that he's continuing the mask mandate. But I was just shocked when I heard Governor Sununu make such a callous statement and decision for the people of New Hampshire.
Well, so Sally, thank you very much for calling. Yeah, thanks a lot. And Jeff Feingold, to you, what kinds of New Hampshire businesses were happy about this? We heard from Marie, who's a retailer, who's nervous. We've heard from other retailers who we'll go to in a little bit who are nervous. But were there businesses that said, this is a good idea?
I think that there are individual business owners who have been, ideologically opposed to this all along. And I think that they're happy about it. I'm not quite sure that there are whole industries that would be happy about this necessarily. I know even if you think about manufacturing, which is, you know, obviously doesn't deal with, customers on a regular basis like that. They also have had, very strict guidelines. Some of them have gone to, change their whole layout of their production floor to encourage to have social distancing. They've added shifts to encourage social distancing, regular testing, have had incentive programs for their employees to get vaccinated. So I don't see how I think as an individual company, a manufacturer, I'd say, okay, we're all vaccinated or enough of us is vaccinated, we'll take off the masks. But I don't imagine that there's a large number of people in what I call those customer-facing industries, retail, hospitality, and the like, restaurants, because of people like the previous caller here, who said basically that she
Sally
doesn't
Nashua,
want to go into a store. Sally, that's right. I'm sorry, I wrote her name down and I couldn't read my handwriting.
That's okay. we got an email from Lisa in Hampton too, who says, like Sally does, I will not go into any business that does not require masks, Lisa says. And I fear that others will do the opposite and stay away from places that require masks. Businesses can no longer point to the state when being harassed by anti-maskers, Lisa says. Local mask mandates are confusing and impossible to enforce. This is also a huge problem, Lisa says, in the Northeast, where all other states are complying with the necessary health guidance. And now our state stands out as the lone state in this region to let down our guard. Lisa says this has never been an issue of, quote, personal freedom. This is about health and safety, period. That has an impact on our economy more than anything else. And speaking of freedoms, Lisa says, how about my freedom to leave my home again and feel like my governor and my neighbors care about my health and safety? Lisa says she feels abandoned, ignored, and after more than a year of sacrificing everything, angry as hell. Lisa, thank you for writing. What about that, Bobby Bagley? Local mask mandates are confusing and impossible to enforce. How do you feel about that, given Nashua's mask mandate?
Well, I think it depends on what's in the mask mandate. So what we have, asked is, people to, when they're going into businesses and they cannot maintain 6 feet of distancing, that they keep their mask on. And so if there's a number of patrons in a business, it can be difficult to maintain that 6 feet of distancing. So you would keep the mask on. I think some of the issues are, for instance, if you sit down at your table and you're eating, you get to take your mask off to eat. And so people look at that and say, well, now they don't have the mask on, they're sitting there and they're eating for a period of time. But they're in, a location or a space within the tables are at least 6 feet apart. So I can understand why some would say it does look and sound like it's confusing, but it's really about the space and the distancing. And when that cannot be maintained, the thing that we know works is making sure that the nose and the mouth are covered to reduce the spread of, the virus, into the air, because we know that it's transmitted in the air. So you need that kind of covering. So barriers are really important. And the mask serves as that major barrier. And so, yes, sometimes it seems like, wow, this, it's going back and forth, but it's really about maintaining that distancing and covering when you cannot.
A couple last questions for you, Bobby, before we let you go. What impact, if any, might this lifting of the statewide mask mandate have on local vaccination efforts? Does it give the impression that the virus is no longer a threat, so why bother getting vaccinated?
Wow. So, you know, with that, we still are encouraging individuals to wear their masks even after they're vaccinated. And the reason for that is because we know that we've seen some of the variants in the United States, you know, in New Hampshire as well. We know that the vaccinations are working. We know also that there are some individuals that the uptake of the vaccination may take a little bit of time. You still have 2 weeks after your second dose of the vaccine that you have to wait for full coverage. And so we still need to wear the mask. And so the two going together are really going to help us stop the spread of this infection. So masking and vaccinations are going to be the key to us eradicating COVID in our communities.
I guess what I'm wondering is, do you think that the lifting of the mandate gives an impression to some people that the virus is no longer that serious? And so why should they bother getting vaccinated?
I don't think the lifting of the mandate gives the impression that we don't need to continue to wear the mask just because we're doing the vaccinations, right? The vaccinations are going to be key. And the lifting of the mask mandate, I believe for the most part, Laura, we know what we need to do. Do we have to have a law that tells us that we have to do these things to do the right thing? We put policies in place when we know it's going to help us in our initiatives. But even without a policy, we all know what we should be doing.
Some cities, as you know, Bobby, have dates on which their local mandates will expire. Concord, for example, has a date of early June. I believe Keene has a date of early June. What about Nashua? Do you have a date by which you hope to lift your local mandate?
Well, our Board of Health has been talking about this issue because of one with the lifting of the mask mandate that was effective on April 16th. And we have had conversations about it. What we're looking at is we're looking at the numbers, and you can see that the numbers have been going up and down. Our mask mandate will remain in effect until further notice. Our Board of Health is in the processes of developing criteria that's based on the science, that's going to be based on the numbers. And again, once we see that number of substantial spread in the community start to dip down, it has to go below 100. Then we will consider a date. So we're in the process of having those conversations right now. But at this point, we don't have an end date for the mask mandate in Nashua.
Well, Bobby, this is all so new. So we really appreciate you coming on the air with us on a Monday morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
That's Bobby Bagley, director of the Nashua Division of Public Health and Community Services. So coming up after a very short break, we will talk with a Monadnock region business owner and a reporter who's been watching this. You can keep calling in as well. It's 800-892-6477 or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Cano. Today, now that the governor has lifted New Hampshire's mask mandate, this question goes back to the local level, cities and towns, businesses, other organizations. So listeners, let's hear from you on that. Send us an email. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or call 800-892-6477. Just a reminder that on Wednesday, we'll look more at the COVID numbers around this, both those that the governor cited to make his decision and those that feel critics feel are inadequate and feel that this mandate should stand. So we'll address that more on Wednesday. Right now, we're really taking a look at local impacts and getting your reaction. Again, our number is 800-892-6477. We're talking for the hour with Jeff Feingold. He's longtime editor of New Hampshire Business Review. We have many other voices that we're going to fold in this hour. But Jeff, let's go right back to our listeners first. And David's joining us from Peterborough. Hi, David. You're on the air. Welcome.
I wanted to say that, you know, it seems like the most important function of government is to protect its citizens. And for craven political calculus on the part of Governor Sununu, he wants to change our motto to live free and die. You know, this is in footsteps of what the governors of South Carolina and Florida did, because they thought it was, you know, their political calculus that they would do better. And I hope that when we see inevitably a rise in deaths in area where people are not mandated and exposed, that the governor takes this on his moral shoulders. He won't get any votes from anyone I know.
So, David, how does this affect your sort of day-to-day life?
Well, you know, I wrote a letter to the local paper that after the governor's mandate, I went into a local gun shop in December in Jaffrey to purchase their boots for members of my family. And not only are there four or five customers right in front of the store, but the employees of the store, none of them were. I took my business elsewhere.
Oh, David, you're breaking up. I'm sorry. Can you say that again, please?
Sure. You know, in December, after the mask mandate, I went into a local gun shop to buy some winter boots for members of my family for Christmas.
Sure.
In Jaffrey. And, you know, there were four or five customers as well as two employees right at the front of the shop. None of them were wearing masks. I took my business elsewhere. I went into the local hardware store, Beltates, and one of the employees told me that the president of Beltates Hardware had told them that they could not protest against customers who came in not wearing masks. And, of course, he couldn't dare do that because, you know, he's in fear of his job. But he didn't feel comfortable serving customers.
Okay, so David, I'm going to let you go just because of phone reasons. But I think, Jeff, I'm hearing from him what we heard from a couple listeners in our first segment, that, you know, frustration around people in retail establishments not wearing masks, and the idea that, you know, some people won't go into stores that don't require them. What a shakeout for New Hampshire's business community, Jeff. How are they going to figure this out?
I know. I think that's the real fear about not having a statewide mask mandate from perspective of people, especially like retail. That's the perfect example. And it's because there's going to be people like David and Sally earlier who won't go into stores where they sense that they don't feel safe. Whether they should feel safer, as the governor is saying, basically, you know, he's very optimistic about where this is headed, the COVID numbers. But there are people who still don't think or trust that idea that they are necessarily safe right now. You know, because as David was saying, it's a good point. I mean, we don't live in a vacuum in New Hampshire where we read and we know what's going on in places like Michigan or Texas or Florida, where you read about, you know, just these big surges where people aren't wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. And that's in the back of their minds. And I think that's a calculation that they're making that I think might scare some retailers, because they're saying, well, there's a bunch of customers out there who don't want to come in here because they're afraid to. I can't afford that. And I mean, that's really something going forward that I think is going to be part of the discussion.
Here's a point from Kristen in Dunbarton, who says, I appreciate the concerns of callers, but I think we should pivot to the personal responsibility to get vaccinated. Kristen says, maybe a card to present at businesses that says we're protected is a next step. Everyone else can be on their own wearing N95 masks. Wow, Kristen, thank you for writing. Jeff, this gets us into the whole, you know, sort of vaccine passports. And if you don't have that vaccine card, then, you know, you can wear an N95 mask and so forth. Is there any discussion around this idea here in New Hampshire? I know it's a big discussion at the national level and even international level.
I think it's a discussion among, you know, certain pockets of people, but I think generally, you know, I don't think it's a discussion at the public policy level on a serious level right now, because I think politically speaking, it's probably not possible to do in New Hampshire right now. I think that you do hear a lot about this from airlines, especially, you know, they say that maybe they should have it, and some large hotel chains are thinking of doing things like that. But for the most part, it's just, you know, if there are people who are not happy about wearing masks, I can't imagine that they'd be happy about carrying around an ID card or a so-called passport to show they had a vaccination. I mean, I think there's a level of individual rights that, you know, that has to be met, and that, you know, have to, just support them. So I think it's a very complicated issue, especially in a state like New Hampshire.
Well, Kristen, thank you for writing. And that's definitely a topic, Kristen, that we're looking at, you know, this whole idea of, should people have to show a card? What can businesses require and so forth? So I appreciate you writing about that, because we're definitely looking into that more on The Exchange. Jeff, I want to bring another voice into our conversation. With us now is Paula Tracy. She's a reporter for In-Depth NH. She's been watching this. She's been at those gubernatorial press conferences. Paula Tracy, thank you for giving us your time. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Laura, and hi, Jeff.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
So, Paula, what did you see and hear over the weekend? You know, this just happened on Thursday afternoon, and right. Friday it was lifted. What did you hear and see over the weekend in terms of towns, cities, businesses, and so forth?
Well, I spent yesterday mostly on the internet looking for a review, and I reviewed about 12 different municipality websites and press releases that I'd received from municipalities. And what I'm sort of coming to the conclusion of is that the governor's action has created a lack of uniformity between cities and towns, some that have them, some that don't. And I have included in our story that's on In-Depth today links to the specific ordinances for Plymouth, Keene, Durham, Hanover, Portsmouth, Lebanon, Exeter, New London, and Nashua. What I'm hearing is that what Bobby Bagley was mentioning just to you a minute ago, of she was saying that it goes into the mandate. Every different city and town has a different play on basically maintaining social distance to reduce the threat of the virus being spread. But in some communities, it's much more restrictive. Some communities don't have fines. Some communities don't look to the state for lifting their emergency order and have their own deadlines and ways that they're going to let these things expire or not. But I get the feeling that there's a whole mishmash, and people need to go to their community where they are and look at what the ordinances state, because it's not the same as the state's mask mandate.
Yeah, mishmash is a really good way to put it, Paula. And I was looking at, you know, half a dozen communities over the weekend. And you're right. You know, Keene's mandate, for example, is very strict. It includes gyms, for example.
Yeah.
Concord's just says city buildings and retail establishments. You can go into a gym in Concord and, you know, run on the treadmill and breathe hard and have people on the treadmill next to you breathing hard. So it's kind of confusing. I wonder what this is going to mean, Paula, for businesses and cities that don't have mask mandates. I mean, they can still impose their own, the governor said, but what do you think that's going to mean for them?
You know what I think is going to happen, Laura? I think we're going to see more communities that are hearing from their businesses saying, hey, we need something on paper here. We need something to back us up now that we don't have the state to do it. Please issue a mandate in your community or petitions. I think it's possible, because I really haven't heard a lot of people supporting the governor's position on the timing of this. A lot of people have said, yes, he says 70% of the people who are eligible in the state are going to get it, but they're not going to get it until the end of May. So they're saying, why didn't he wait until Memorial Day and give us more time to pull our plan together? So I think there will be a lot more conversations in town halls, because it's going to be prompted by businesses saying, we're in the middle of this. You have to help us.
That's interesting. So tourists might come to New Hampshire saying, hey, no masks. And then town after town after town will have different rules and regulations. That seems to be what
And they'll have to go to their the website for the town and look at what the rules are. And it won't be the same from Milford to Rollinsford. You know, it just, you know, it will set up there might be places where they embrace the lack of a mask. I mean, there might be like Hampton Beach or something like that. They might say, we don't need this. This is not what we want to do. And then people will either run in droves there or run away. So it'll take the uniformity out of the whole state situation. So.
Well, sure. And we've been hearing from listeners about that. Paula, I have a couple more folks I need to fold in this hour, so I'll let you go. But I really appreciate you being with us. It's always nice to talk to you.
Always nice to talk to you as well. Take good care.
That's Paula Tracy. Again, she's a reporter with In-Depth NH. Michael sends us an email. He says, I feel good about the governor's removal of the mask mandate. It decriminalizes the act of not wearing a mask and places the responsibility to be safe on individuals. We shouldn't take a passive approach to our choices, Michael says. I have worn a mask since Dr. Fauci changed his position to pro-mask and gave it little thought until the governor mandated masks, an action that made me resentful. I have and will continue to wear my masks until vaccinated. Michael says, it's upsetting to hear that businesses and their owners feel a need to hide behind a mandate to run their business as they see fit. You have the right to require people to wear masks in your business, and they have the right to walk out. So, Jeff, you're the editor of New Hampshire Business Review. What do you think about Michael's point? You know, people, he seems to be saying people shouldn't be so upset. If businesses want to impose a mask mandate, they can. And if customers don't like it, they can walk out. End of story.
Well, I think that he's making a very good point, and I think that he speaks for, you know, a large number of people in New Hampshire. I'm sure of that. I think the point is that businesses are trying to balance this belief that people have a right to do what they want, but inside the business, it's not necessarily the First Amendment. It doesn't always apply inside a business itself. It's, you know, that's up to this business to set up its rules and guidelines. And if people feel that they don't have to obey those when they're, you know, they're unusual. I mean, COVID restrictions are unusual guidelines we've never seen before, at least not in our lifetimes. And this is something that I think that businesses are concerned that they want to be accommodating to as many people as possible, and without having some kind of overarching guideline, as Paula was saying, when it's a statewide mandate, everybody knows the rules. But when it's not, people just go walk into a business without a mask on, and then the employee has to say, no, I'm sorry, we require masks. And you know, if the customer gets irate, which we've seen before, that's not a good situation at all. So
you
have to look at it from the business's perspective.
Let's go to a business owner now who has had that situation. With us now on the line is Michael Faber. He's general manager of the Monadnock Food Co-op in Keene. And Michael, welcome to The Exchange. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So as was mentioned earlier, Keene has its own quite strict local mask mandate. So what does this action by the governor mean for you in Keene?
Well, I think, this causes some confusion, you know, among, you know, the general public. You know, not everyone, you know, lives and stays in Keene. So, you know, we have folks from outside of the area traveling into Keene who aren't going to be familiar with the Keene ordinance. And so, it just will likely, and, you know, we've seen a little bit already, just, you know, lead to, you know, more challenges for us within the store where we're needing to, re-educate people that, you know, there still is an ordinance here in Keene, and that, you know, masks are, you know, we still have the right to require them as we're doing so.
So you've already seen some questions around that, Michael, even though this just happened on Friday?
Yeah, you know, I think, well, you know, as, you know, everyone sort of, you know, experiences, you know, we all sort of hear and absorb different, you know, sound bites of news. And so, yeah, I think, you know, some people have heard, you know, the news of the, you know, the announcement on Friday, and, you know, have, you know, that's meant something to them that may or may not be accurate in, you know, in the business or the place where they live. So, yeah, it hasn't been a huge issue so far, but, yeah, we've seen a little bit over the weekend, just some, you know, needing to reiterate some of re-educate again that there is a ordinance, and we as a business owner are still requiring face coverings at this point in time.
Well, and in Keene, you have the city mandate too. So I did hear, Michael, that your employees have had to go through special training due to conflicts with people who don't want to wear masks. So this was last year. What did that training include, Michael?
Yeah, so the primary training we've been providing for our staff is a de-escalation training. Sadly, this has brought a lot of conflicts to grocery stores, to our staff who never would have imagined that this would be a part of their job. But nonetheless, we've had our own share of conflicts around this mask issue. And it's sad that it's turned into this type of a crisis. But nonetheless, we've trained our staff to, on how best to handle those situations where, a shopper, gets, really aggravated and upset about, our requirement to have them wear a face covering of some type. And the last thing we want is for any conflict to escalate. We've all seen a few examples across the country where, unfortunately, that has in fact happened. And our staff are, doing an incredible job of, trying to keep a safe and welcoming place for people to continue to get their food through this situation. So, we're doing our best to support them and give them the tools they need, throughout this process.
We got this Facebook comment, Michael, from a listener, Christine, who says, "Well done, Governor. Many people will only support businesses that allow a mask, no mask choice." We've heard from a lot of listeners this hour who say, "I'm not going into a place that doesn't require a mask," but is it possible you will lose some business from Keene's continued mandate and from your own business's continued mandate?
Well, consumers make choices about, that incorporate a lot of different things. A lot of shoppers that come to our store come to support local farmers and producers and come to our store to, get access to healthy food choices. And, those are the things that bring them in. And, there's always going to be different reasons that attract or deter people from coming to or going to a place to shop. And, we've over the course of this pandemic, we've, taken our safety protocols really seriously. And, everything we've seen so far is that our community and our shoppers have really appreciated that. Our sales growth has been tremendous over this past year. And so people do really feel supported when they come here and shop, feel safe. And so, I'm sure it'll go, as you've sort of identified, I'm sure it'll sort of go both directions. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some people who will choose one shopping location because of this, and someone else who will do the opposite. And, by and large, I don't think this is going to be a huge factor in where people decide to shop, but, perhaps it'll, for some, it will be.
Well, Michael, it's good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Michael Faber. He's general manager of the Monadnock Food Co-op in Keene. Tom emails, "Now that it's a hodgepodge of towns requiring masks, will any organization be posting a map of towns and cities requiring masks?" Tom, I want to let you know that NHPR has updated the map of towns and cities requiring masks and where local penalties for noncompliance may apply. We're putting a link to this on our show web post for today. So our show website, as always, is nhpr.org/exchange. Once again, nhpr.org/exchange. Thanks for writing in, Tom. And Jeff Feingold, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we will talk with a leader of New Hampshire's recreation industry, and we'll hear more local reaction to the lifting of New Hampshire's mask mandate. Keep it right here. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
I listen to NHPR because it opens up my world. Peg Hendel of Waterville Valley is a proud member of NHPR's Leadership Circle.
I really value the fair and well-researched and well-balanced information that I get. That's something I just had to support.
You too can join NHPR's growing family of Leadership Circle members when you invest $100 a month into the statewide news service you trust at nhpr.org/leaders.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tuesday on The Exchange, how New Hampshire restaurants are doing and their plans for warmer weather. Join us for that conversation tomorrow morning, live at 9. Today, the end of New Hampshire's statewide mask mandate and how local communities, businesses, and organizations are reacting. Listeners, let's hear from you. How does this policy change affect your workplace, your town, or the places you tend to go? Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Comment on Facebook or call 800-892-6477. With us for the hour is Jeff Feingold, editor of New Hampshire Business Review. And with us now is Jessica Keeler, executive director of Ski NH. Jessica, welcome back to The Exchange. Nice to have you.
Nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, very briefly, Jessica, before we move to the summer, how did the mask mandate affect the ski season?
Well, it made the season relatively easy, all things considered. It definitely helped us a great deal with guests who otherwise wouldn't have wanted to wear a mask or a face covering. Having that consistency across the state was helpful, particularly for frontline staff like lift attendants or customer service, you know, rental, retail staff. It definitely helped them out. And I will say too that ski areas across the country all expected people to mask up. So we worked together as an industry from Maine to California. And having the support of the state mandate really helped drive that message home and make people safe, both guests and staff.
So New Hampshire ski mountains offer lots of summer attractions. You and I have talked about this before. What are you hearing from your members, Jessica, about whether they plan to require masks at their businesses for the summer? You know, all the mountain biking and what do you call those little roller coaster things that you go down the mountain on? And all the stuff that you do. Yes, thank you.
The news is still pretty fresh, but I think you're going to see that most of our attractions are going to continue to require masks, at least where social distancing isn't possible. So, you know, whether that's in a ticket line or ticket booth, or if you're whatever the activity may be, if you're in close contact with other people that aren't in your party, you're probably going to still have to wear a mask. And of course, you know, I think we'll also see that employees are going to still be continued to wear them as well. You know, and again, this all goes back to keeping guests safe and our staff too. And I think that's really important because, as you know, there's a workforce issue in the state. And if we have workers who don't feel safe because of our, the resort's policies, they may choose to stay home or do something else where they do feel safe. So it's really important that we have those protocols in place.
Oh, that's interesting. So people might come to the White Mountains and say, this is great. There's no mask mandate. And they might be surprised because those businesses are going to be trying to keep their workers safe given the worker shortage.
Yeah. And again, you know, when we're talking about outdoor recreation areas, attractions, that sort of thing, there's a lot of space where you don't have to wear a mask because you're not near other people. But there are going to be some sort of pinch points, if you will, where people are going to be close to each other. And I think those are the kinds of places where you're going to probably see that will require masks, at least, you know, for those short periods of time when people are close together like that.
Grace sent us an email, Jessica. Grace says, might visitors from other states not want to come to New Hampshire? Could the governor's move actually prevent some tourists from wanting to visit our state now? What do you think, Jessica?
You know, I don't know. We didn't see that last year. We definitely had a lot of people coming to New Hampshire, looking to get away from it all, looking for the outdoor experiences. And I have a feeling that we're going to continue to see that. I know that those are the predictions in the forecast right now. And I think that, again, you can still come up here regardless of the fact that there won't be a mask mandate and have plenty of open space to enjoy yourself. But again, I think, you know, in certain places, you should probably plan to bring a mask with you, wear it if you're around other people, whether it's on a trail or shopping or at an attraction. And, you know, just to part of it, you know, part of it might be that you're someplace where that's required, but in other places it might just be a good plan to do that. And I think it's worth noting too that the U.S. Forest Service does still have a mask mandate, or at least a mask, I think it's a requirement. But there's the President Biden's executive order for mask use that basically says that people should wear masks when they can't socially distance on public lands. And some of our attractions are on those public lands too. So we do still need to abide by those.
Oh, that's interesting. So if you, for example, went into a Forest Service office, you know, to use the bathroom or buy something, you have to wear a mask there. That's federal property. That's interesting.
Right.
And some of your attractions are on federal land. So you're saying they have to abide by that? Like, can you give us an example of
places,
like Loon Mountain, for example? Is that on federal land?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. They are at least partially or mostly, I forget, the entire amount of their property that is on federal land, but they will have to abide by those. And again, I think it's important to know that the executive order, I don't think it says that everywhere you go, like if you're hiking on a trail and you're by yourself, you don't have to be wearing a mask like that. But I think it's again, like when you're around other people and you can't do that 6-foot social distancing, that you should wear a mask.
Anything else, Jessica, that you are thinking about right now as a leader in New Hampshire's tourism industry, you know, as the state adjusts for this and prepares for summer?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the tourism community has consistently been pushing the message of no before you go since last summer. We did this all throughout the winter and plan to continue doing that into this summer as well. And I think it's just important that before people go anywhere, they should know what to expect. So, you know, am I going to have to wear a mask? You know, they should probably have one anyway, plan to keep socially distancing, wash your hands, all those things. But again, just do your homework before you head out and so that you know what to expect and you're not caught off guard. I think that's the, you know, the best way to have a good experience when you're traveling in New Hampshire this summer.
And don't blame the employee if you are caught off guard.
Exactly.
They're just doing their job. Thank you so much for being with us, Jessica. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Jessica Keeler, Executive Director of Ski New Hampshire. Lou emails us to remind us that masks are still mandatory in federal buildings such as post offices. So that's similar to what Jessica just told us about federal land, the White Mountain National Forest. Robert in Epsom says, since the vaccines are not very effective on the huge problem of newer COVID variants, and since people can be spreaders without symptoms, I would respectfully ask people to be bigger than their right to protest masks when in a grocery store that has a sign out front requiring masks. All of us have to eat. Most of us have to shop for groceries. After all, no one seems to have a problem with stores requiring shirts and shoes, and masks are not a big imposition in the crowded store. Robert, thank you for writing. I just want to say the vaccines are effective from what I have heard so far on that variant that was first discovered in the UK. So, but we're still discovering what's going on with those variants. Thank you very much for writing in, Robert. From our coronavirus survey, Jennifer writes, I am thrilled that the mandate is gone. I will proudly show my face and smile at others. Once more people follow suit, I hope to see more smiling faces. The faceless people, Jennifer says, have given me tremendous anxiety. And I, for one, am excited, not only for myself, but for the poor kids who have needlessly suffered through it. So thank you very much for writing to our coronavirus survey, Jennifer. I want to remind everybody that, again, on Wednesday, we're going to sit down with the state's top two epidemiologists, and we'll talk a lot more about this. A couple of you written today with questions that are more appropriate for them, so we will get to those questions on Wednesday. Jeff Feingold, you know, we've focused a lot on businesses this hour because, as many people have said, they're kind of the ones that are having to sort this out. What are you going to be looking at as you continue your coverage of this, Jeff? What are you going to be watching?
Well, I know for sure that we'll be keeping track of, obviously, the vaccination rate, because I know New Hampshire right now is very high. I believe it's about 27% of the people are fully vaccinated, which is great, but it's obviously nowhere near the level we need for, you know, what herd immunity or whatever. And I do know that what I'm really going to be paying attention to a lot is how this works for businesses, especially those retail businesses and restaurants. Is there going to be a return to last year where there were some confrontations with employees? Is that going to be a concern? As you know, we've heard down in Keene, there were several, I guess there were protests down there over this kind of stuff. And I think that really it's going to be interesting to see, because there's like such a patchwork of guidelines or not non-guidelines, you know, how individual businesses adapt to this. How do chains adapt to this when there's might be a mandate in one city or one town, and they have another outlet in another city or town, they don't have mandates. Do they adapt that way too? I mean, it's really an interesting whole dilemma that's being raised here for businesses.
Well, Jeff, you're always helping us out. Thank you very much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Great being here, Laura.
That's Jeff Feingold. He's longtime editor at New Hampshire Business Review. Exchange listeners, we always want to hear from you. Tell us what you think about the program. Submit ideas for future Exchange shows through the Exchange Listener Survey. Your feedback helps shape the future of the Exchange. You can let us know your thoughts on the show at nhpr.org/surveys. Today's show was produced by NHPR News host and Exchange producer Jessica Hunt. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.